song of preparation there points to a place and a people known as the church. Even pictured here, gathering for the feast, which is a scene that describes our gathering today, making our way to the table. And as we do that together, I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, even though we do still have one more sermon in 1 John. We'll get there, Lord willing, next week. But today, we'll do something a little different. We're marking an ecclesial occasion. That's the title for the sermon, and I'll explain that further as we move along. But up front, what that means is that today's sermon is not going to be a verse-by-verse exposition of a particular passage. It's going to be topical, and you know what topical sermons do. They lay before you things like topics and occasions, and in this case, an ecclesial occasion. One that might well proceed with the hearing of verses 1 through 6 of Ephesians chapter 4. So hear the word of the Lord. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the calling to which we have been called, even into your body, the church. And by your word and spirit this day, we pray that you would grant us gratitude for such a grace as revealed in the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's jump right into the topic with a title and terms. There's the title. If you have a bulletin, it's called an Ecclesial Occasion. Okay, and then this is a continuation tonight. We're looking at Reformed doctrines, and we'll look at ecclesiology. So I know it sounds fancy, and I got burned by this years ago when I used some Greek-sounding word or some Latin derivative, and people said, I don't even know what you're talking about. So let me give my terms first, and then we'll explain. It's just a fancy way of talking about the church. The occasion is the 25th silver anniversary of Grace Church. Some of you were here for that. Many of you weren't. And if you weren't, and I make a lot of references to things in the past, just, you know, rejoice with us or reflect as though you were here, or wish you were. We're in a particular corner of God's kingdom, as I'll point out. But ecclesial is simply relating to the Christian church. It comes from ecclesia. We have the Latin word, we get church. But the Greek is ek, out of, and kalein, called out. So we're dealing with the called out ones. We're the ones, we're God's people, we're called out of this world into his light and into his service. We have a peculiar calling and place. So we're looking at church terms and relating it to our own history together. And ecclesiology is the study of these things, and we'll deal more technically with some of those things tonight, like I said. But to get the kickstart, I guess, I'll use a quick quote here from Kevin DeYoung. Maybe you've heard this before. This is about church. Quote, the church is not an incidental part of God's plan. Jesus didn't invite people to join an anti-religion, anti-doctrine, anti-institutional bandwagon of love, harmony, and reintegration. He showed people how to live, to be sure, but he also called them to repent, called them to faith, called them out of the world, and called them into the church. End quote. And notably, the tone I'm trying to strike for this morning is one of gratitude and praise. I'll use the word hallelujah, not flippantly, but really. There are reasons for praise. I want you to make some sort of a distinction, because some of this, as I reflect, when there's a reverence retrospect, or when you're remembering with me, you might think, this is a little self-indulgent. It doesn't need to be. It can be celebratory with a hallelujah accent because of what the Lord has done, what the Lord is doing in his church, church worldwide, church even locally. Silver anniversary, 25 years, revisiting a few ecclesial occasions to hallelujah. We'll do this by way of a dozen or so. You think, wow, that's not like a big number. We'll call them silver selections, via or vis-a-vis, so by way of or vis-a-vis. Vis-a-vis literally means face-to-face. You're talking about something, you're setting it next to in relation to something, comparing it. And we're doing that in terms of the Lord's work, maybe even in this place. So these V words, vis-a-vis, I want to start with the verses. The first occasion, if you will, would be the verses. Just from today's reading, we have Ephesians. I'll read from Ephesians 1 tonight. But Ephesians 4, we heard these verses. And if you have an ESV Bible, it's the Pew Bible, it has the header for this section. It's called Unity in the Body of Christ. As if to highlight that such verses as these are going to emphasize and really delight in oneness, unity, expressed in realities like humility, gentleness, see these, patience, forbearance, love, peace, and a conviction that's built on the one Lord who makes all the other ones that are mentioned here meaningful. One body, one spirit, one faith, one baptism, etc. So it's a simple, really a sample reading that lets us revisit with some confidence ecclesial realities on this particular occasion of 25 years. And from today's reading, I want us to consider some references that I'll make to sermon series of old. Some of these, if you say, I don't remember being here for that, it could be you weren't here. Either you weren't in the church, or this was 24 years ago, or it was in an evening service, stuff like that. But things I'll be referring to, really things we've already talked about. In some ways, a rapid review. I was even thinking about today. I had on my calendar for a while. This might tease you a little bit too much, but the 2 years ago, before the pandemic was declared like a big thing, the last sermon I preached before that in March was on unity, and we looked at 10 factors of unity. And I thought, you know what? I think I'm going to re-preach that same sermon 2 years later and ask questions like, in retrospect, has unity changed here over the last 2 years? Has unity at Grace changed because of the past 2 years? What do you think? I'm sure lots of stuff has changed. But is oneness one of those things? Oneness in Jesus by his Spirit. Of course, that raises other questions that I'm not going to develop right now, but we could ask questions like, well, what does unify us? What should unify us? Is it eternal things? Is it earthly things? Is it electoral things? Is it other things? Plus, is the unifying factor lived out, as the apostle puts it here, with all humility, gentleness, patience, and peace, etc.? Stuff like that. So that noted today, I'm not re-preaching that sermon, but I am using these verses. I even used those verses in that sermon 2 years ago from Ephesians, vis-a-vis verses and venues. Go right to a second occasion. The venues. A venue is a location where something happens. Right? At Grace, we've had venues. Venues can be physical or spiritual or both. And we've included various buildings in our walk together. Gatherings, we migrated from, I guess, living rooms in homes to Grange Hall on 27th and Washington. If you're around for that. It's still there. We're not, but it is. And then a few months later, we moved into an old church building on Washington and 3rd, so we're moving a little closer to where we are now and where we've been for over 20 years in this particular facility. Right next to Westgate and a highway and an active neighborhood and this highly utilitarian facility that has hosted many events, including worship, where you find yourself now, including homeschool plays, vacation Bible school, memorial services, Good News Club right here, piano recitals, homeschool co-op, pretty soon a classical school, right? Venues, various venues, and the Zilla House over there. And in God's providence, it's all currently paid for. So hallelujah. And we celebrated that together, the provision of the Lord, even in these physical venues. I was looking at my calendar. You know, I have a calendar. And I was looking at March from 25 years ago. And 25 years ago yesterday, so March 19th, 1997, was the day that Terry Yearout and Hugh Oren moved my stuff into the Bateman Building office. Remember the Bateman Building? It's downtown. And so it's $175 a month, and as Robin has pointed out, it smelled like pot roast and cigarettes. But it was mine. It was our office together, and the beginnings were underway. Physical venues, spiritual venues, places where the Lord places his people. The venue for the service, you could drop a pin on Tri-Cities, Washington in general, and in this particular corner of that small space, we have Grace Church. This is where he's called us out to serve in this place. Verses and venues and voices. It's a development on the worship theme. Voices, I'll be highlighting very briefly your voices, my voices, our voices together. Primary purpose and really privilege as a gathered people is to worship. And that's what I mean by voices here. We gather at the Lord's invitation, his call to worship him, to express our wonder in his wonderfulness. We want to gather. We want to give him the hallelujahs that he is worthy to receive. And we want to receive from him food, from his word, from the supper, because we need that. Our souls for service. We're the saved ones. We're gathered for singing and hearing and receiving word and sacrament. So we have these voices that are heard from the pulpit to the pews and back, and from the choir to the congregation to the singing and sermons and suppers and active service and together in the Spirit at the Lord's invitation again. And we do it from morning to evening. Already mentioned, I don't want to be shameless about that. It's just it's a polity thing. Our church, the United Reformed Churches, we require, we expect, we call to services a day. So we've got this Vesper. I thought about using the word Vesper here and giving a particular shout out to the evening service, but I won't jam you with that one. I just want to point out the Vesper, it means evening song. It's a time to come back to round out the Lord's day, a day of rest with God's people. From beginning to end, united in hallelujah. Hearts and voices tuned to hear God's voice and praise him. And over the years, we've had really considerable teaching on this subject of worship. We've weaved in and out of different ways of going about it, the purpose of worship, the practice of worship, who, what, where, when, why, how, what the Lord prescribes, and we're the called out ones, so we need, as the true followers of the Lord, Even we can get distracted and very selfish and seduced with new ways to do things, including worship. Things he never asked for, the Holy One. And so we're going to keep teaching and reminding ourselves here about the matter of right worship. So don't be surprised when that comes up again. Moving on to silver occasion number 4, after a glance of a few verses and venues and voices, let's add vocation. Not vacation, that would be good too, but vocation. Another fancy word comes from Latin meaning to call. It's a calling to do something or to be something. It's touched on briefly here in our passage even today. The verses speak of the Christian, the Christ follower. You got this calling in verse 1, worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And then in verse 4, just as you were called, to one hope that belongs to your call. So we are the church, and we are the called out ones to do something. And you have a something that the Lord has gifted you to do. I could break this down a number of ways. In my notes, I put shepherds and sheep. The shepherds have a vocation. If you were at the congregational meeting, I stood somewhere around here and updated you on things that the elders are doing. You know, a retrospect of 2021, if you will. What we're called to do. Seeking unanimous decisions in times that, when things are difficult. Then you can see some of that on display this week at classes. The shepherds get together and try to shepherd sheep. And the sheep have callings too. I do have a series on this. I might revisit it, do it differently, do it better, whatever. On vocation, and you all have a calling. The Lord has given you, by His Spirit, something to do. And at Grace Church, the answer to the question, what's God calling you to do? A number of people would say, I'm an engineer. Well, you're called to do more than that. You might be an educator. You might be an electrician or artist, agriculturalist, father, mother, grandfather, grandmother. You know about those? Maybe a missionary? Lots to do in the kingdom of God. One Lord, one faith. We're confessing it here. Advancing right in front of us, we have this promise from the Lord. And I mentioned this here not too long ago, that the Lord is faithful to His church. There's a lot of surveys these days about the church. You know, people don't want to go to church anymore, or the pandemic knocked people out of church. The Lord is going to build His church. I don't mind repeating this. I'm so sure of this, and I'm just, and you. I hope you are too. The gates of Hades, as Jesus said, hell isn't even going to prevail. So when you think, you see some survey, think, oh no, we're in trouble. We're not. The Lord is faithful to His church. There are oppositions, there's impositions, I get it. But the Lord has called His people to serve, and even by way of these vocations, the church advances. Gospel goes forward, and your services reach the kingdom. Hallelujah. And so we have another occasion. I really will hit 12, not 12 o'clock, but 12 items here. Venture is what I have here. This is an occasion for hallelujah. Venture is it's a daring undertaking. I looked it up, a venture. And you can add if you want. It's an adventure. And they come in various sizes and proportions. I'd like to break this down. I'd probably put some of these in an incorrect category, but I thought I will try to list small, medium, and large ventures. Okay? So small ones in my notes would say the early days of tooling up. If you're newlyweds or if you're starting a new business or something, there's just, I think it's called tooling up, isn't it? I've heard that phrase. Where you're actually buying tools. You think we need to, like in the case of Grace Church, we had to go buy chairs. We had to buy these chairs. Buy songbooks. We had to get choir stuff and computer and sound system, a cassette recorder, and then later a DVD recorder, a digital recorder, and a piano, a website, a snowblower. There's an undertaking, a venture, that someone in the body is serving this way. And it's seems small, but we got to have chairs, don't we? So there's a venture. And then a medium-sized venture. I'm moving along quickly. I got to do 12 of these. At least I committed to 12. Medium. How about this? Starting a venture like a Women of Grace ministry. You're like, that could go in the large category, but I'm not in it. But from what I can tell, it's at least medium, maybe large. Small group system. I was a part of that. Getting together for midweek studies. Prayer groups. Camps and retreats. from Wooten to Bozarth and back. Joining a federation of churches, saying we're going to join the United Reformed Churches. That was at least a medium-sized venture, if you were here for that. Making commitments, even hosting them this week as part of the commitment. Joining the federation, then maybe starting a Grace Grammar School, maybe medium-sized would be letting me go back to school to get a D-min. Okay, not a D-min, but a D-min. And also graciously coming alongside me in the venture of discipling interns for ministry. I rattled off a few at the congregational meeting, people that you remember by name and by face, some who will be here this week, Lord willing, that you saw back in the day, who are now ministers in churches proclaiming the same gospel that they started to hear years and years ago. Large ventures would include this, the outreach in particular, the adventures that that committee has been staring down and setting aside significant resources as a body to reach and to assist the reachers of so many far away places. Recently reviewed again at the congregational meeting, servants, Sacred Road, in Ghana, college campuses, India. You even sent John and me. That was 10 years, I was reminding John, that was 10 years ago last month. Just like that. 10 years teaching the catechism in Calcutta. And so you got to be a part of that. That seemed large at the time, and it still seems large at this time. Church plant, we got to participate in a church plant a number of years ago. We called a second pastor who served with us for 6 years, if you remember him, now known as the Reverend Dr. Russell St. John. He was here. He was part of this, part of we, part of the silver. The ministry of the deacons, both locally and really globally, as they expend their resources and offer mercy. Hallelujah, right? The venture next door at Westgate, just right here. Kids parading over, sitting here. Hearing the gospel, no telling. We really might have no idea what those seeds of gospel proclamation will produce. We might get the glory and say, you were at Good News Club. I remember you were eight. So seeds go forward, gospel fruit unto eternity, hallelujah. And then speaking of young hearts, I would add to the big venture here that you all helped Robin and me raise our kids, almost to the point of an empty nest, and beyond. And I suspect that that venture itself is shared throughout the body, throughout the years, at least 25 years, and counting. Hallelujah. Occasion number 6, I'll call visits. These can be done formally or informally. The elder visits are upon you right now. Again, that's a United Reformed Church thing that the elders shall come into your house, invite them into your house and talk about your faith, talk about your family, your walk in the faith, about the church, the ecclesia. Remember that word, the fancy word for church. So that would be the formal visit. And I almost brought it today. I thought maybe I should have a whole sermon someday on that 4-page thing that we send out. You think, we got to cover all that? And this, no, you don't. And maybe we could walk through some of those together at a different time. But elder visits. And the informal visits, about 4 years ago, if you were here, we covered, I think it was a 10-part series in hospitality. And we looked at a number of angles. We looked at the heart of hospitality, why are we even doing this? We're called to do it. The history of it a little bit, the hallmark of it, the needfulness for hospitality in a healthy church, the need to share life together, this vis-a-vis, face-to-face. Face-to-face, like in the flesh, in homes, with the people of God, delighting that, sharing in worship and walks that are spiritual walks and actual walks along pathways and through parks and on people's patios and coffee shops and homes, just doing life together in Jesus' name. Occasion number 7 is vision. Vision. Again, another topical series that went by a little bit ago. We compared the world's view of vision and the Word's view of vision. See, I can jam alliteration even in that. And in particular here, we wanted to run it through the summary of the whole thing. I'll just fast forward. This is going to sound thoroughly unimpressive, but this was the big payoff after comparing the world's way and the Word way. Is this, you ready? This is the vision. Be the church. Okay. We activated it more. It sounded more impressive when we got around to it, but at least I hope it did. But there's the image. If I didn't bring it up there, I didn't look through all my notes on that one. But somewhere along that, I bring up this snapshot, and I want to drop it right here as well. It seems to apply to the vision because it keeps showing up in my mind and maybe in my steps or my pace or my disposition. So a snapshot for vision is the tortoise and the hare. Have I mentioned this? I know I've mentioned this. We've got this race. We're going to glory. We're going to Zion. And I can relate this to me or we. So personally or for the church, the proverbial tortoise, you know, the tortoise, he's slow, he's simple, he's steady, yet he finishes the race every time you read that, and he's faithful, he just gets there. And then the hare is pretty impressive, you got to admit, if you know the story, fast and flashy, and yet failing to finish well. And this isn't an indictment. I'm not trying to say that other people are. But I'm drawn to this, again, maybe dispositionally. We're not a body of lights, camera, action, if you've noticed. We're not particularly a body of trusting in ourselves, from what I can tell, or in our own skill set and the frills of what could be. We're not easily distracted by the shiny object. And I'm grateful for that. Not just because I'm drawn to that, but it seems so really right-headed in terms of a vision. Because Jesus already casts the vision, and it isn't to dazzle the world. It's to build his church in very simple ways, word and sacrament. The world says, what? Crucified Christ, and you celebrate that repeatedly? Jesus says he's going to build his church. And he'll see his people to the end, finishing for sure, even when that looks like a tortoise plodding away onward to Zion. Speaking of plodding, I've read this quote, I think, at a congregational meeting. Plodding with the D's, not plodding like you're scheming, but plodding along. Here's a quote. What we need are fewer revolutionaries and a few more plodding visionaries. That's my dream for the church, a multitude of faithful, risk-taking plodders. The best churches are full of gospel-saturated people holding tenaciously to a vision of godly obedience and God's glory, and pursuing that godliness and glory with relentless, often unnoticed, plodding consistency. Daily discipleship is not a new revolution each morning, or an agent of global transformation every evening. It's a long obedience in the same direction. End quote. Picture of plodding. And that picture might lead us into occasion number 8, which is valleys. These last one go pretty quickly. Well, the next two don't. The last three do. Valleys. Whatever you would imagine that V word to mean here, you're probably right. I'll keep it brief. But it's not something that lacks hallelujah. A valley is when you go to a low point. It's a time of loss, a deep loss. When dark clouds are surrounding the valley and they're stuck there like inversion. Even there, maybe especially there, the Lord is near. And we've shared that together, right? The good shepherd guide, as the psalmist says, that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, The Lord's there. He's with you. And we have stood at gravesides together. And as a body, we will do that again and again. Hurting yet hopeful because of the gospel truth of a risen Savior who conquered the grave. Even the valley is not the end. Not for the bride of Jesus, because Jesus lives. That's why we live. So hallelujah. So valleys include death, and but also just general darkness. I was looking this up. Maybe you already knew this. But to get the color silver, right, the silver anniversary, to get the color, you need black and blue, and then depending what you want to do with the color, a little bit of white. But black and blue, those are dark colors. And there are realities of darkness. There are valleys in the life of a body that include, what have we shared together? You lose a job. That's dark. Or some jolting diagnosis. The lab said what? And then we deal with the hard hearts of those loved by us that are near to us. We have long waits on the Lord, maybe even for those things like a job or the healing or that loved one, to have a soft heart for the gospel. So we have these seasons of sorrow. We have these really at least a swath of sadness. And yet we hallelujah together because the Lord is with us through the darkness, in the valley, and even in the valley of disappointment. So I wanted to add this. This one's real quick, but I'll use a quote. Let me ask it this way. Have you ever been let down by someone? Now let me double down. Have you ever been let down by someone in this room? Into a valley of sorts. Might that happen when hundreds of humans gather together for 25 years? Or even 25 days. Here's a quote. Your church will be so imperfect. So. The staff and leaders will not magically make life fulfilling. People will let you down. And you them. Stuff will go sideways. And have to be righted. There will be hard conversations. And honest confessions. And apologies. And lots of forgiveness. But. The presence of these things doesn't mean you are doing it wrong. It means you are building a church with human people and you love them too much to let it all slip through your fingers without fighting for unity. End quote. There's more surrounding that, but you get the idea. There are valleys, and on a silver anniversary for the ecclesia, we've looked at a few verses. We've looked at some venues and voices and vocation and ventures, visits, vision and valleys, and then vows. I don't need to do this one. This is number 9. You just had, I'm telling you, if you were here for this one, it's like at least, I didn't count it, but at least 40 sermons on vows. So if you were here for that, we looked at the practical theology. We focused in on church membership vows. We looked at the family table and moved to the formal showing up to make your vows and then to follow up by the shepherds with those vows. Very practical. Again, I want to offer 2 simple snapshots, and I usually ask for permission. I got Caleb's permission to use his name, and the other person here, I didn't get permission because I didn't ask. So I don't like to, like if you're just sitting there thinking, oh, don't use my name, right? So you'll know who this is, but I won't use a name. And Caleb said I could use her name, but I won't. Here are the 2 pictures I have for vows. I use a tortoise and the hare for something else. This is for vows. Someone who was baptized here 25 years ago, then got married. So the vows take place of baptism, vows take place, and then membership, and then marriage. And then maybe that cycle will repeat itself. And to have a visual where even one person can walk through the ecclesia together. And we share that moment. We say, I remember you when, and I see, oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Vows, promises made before God and his people. Sharing life, sharing seasons with Jesus and promises. The other one is Caleb and Chuck. I could take you back. Some of you were there, but if you can imagine, the Grange Hall at the end of Washington, May of 1997. This is before any of us made our vows of membership. The first set of vows that were heard in our presence, Robin's dad, Reverend Dr. Charles Rosemeyer, flew out from Pittsburgh to this corner of God's kingdom to serve the Lord's Supper to us and to baptize his grandson. So hallelujah. And so we fast forward 25 years, and this dawned on me. I didn't start crying or something, but at our 25, you know, the congregational meeting, there's that big bearded one, that baby. He's leading the singing at the congregational meeting. So there's a picture. We've got these. So we grow together. And vows are one of the markers and features that we see, including some visuals. I brought some visuals. This is the closest, I think, to self-indulgent. But there are visuals that the Bible gives for the church. You know, there's the body of Christ. I mentioned that. And there's the temple, the house, the people in their place, the bride, which Ephesians also speaks of in chapter 5, and then the bride who's beautiful because Jesus made her beautiful. But I brought some visuals just from just history. Like we've got this postcard from 1997. The Johnsons, you recognize that? You know, you want to come and so this is like before we even really started gathering. This is February. It's like the month before. You guys want to come to this thing? And then I brought from 1997 my ordination card. Okay, isn't that fun? And a 1998 Grace Notes. Birth: Levi Hugh Oren was born to Dennis and Heather Oren, May 19th. Okay, here's a bulletin. They look pretty similar. This is 2003. We were still doing this model. This is from the aforementioned Reverend Dr. Russell St. John. He was doing a sermon here. These are my notes. Christian giving. Okay? You want to read that? Then a Camp Wooten brochure from 2007. A picture of Robin right here in this place doing Good News Club to the 2011. And then 2012, the John picture. John and Craig with a couple other missionaries in Calcutta. And then a thank you card from one of our interns and his wife. Those are just some visuals that I have probably stuck to my chalkboard in there, and I brought them out to share with you today on this ecclesial occasion. Those are some visuals. Number 11 is voyage, and I wanted to do voyage because I want to grant that some of today's talk reads like a travelogue. Saints on a journey somewhere, particular pilgrimage to Zion. We got this walk of faith, a voyage, if you will, a race, even if it's like a tortoise. So we have these, we're family members. That's what it is here. And through these various verses and venues and valleys and with voices and vocations and vision and visits and vows and, again, many verses, we gather as the bride of Christ. We are the bride for whom Jesus died to make us right with God, to make us righteous, to make us clean, beautiful, moving heavenward, vis-a-vis, face-to-face, to see Jesus face-to-face. That's how we move, always with the end in view. Knowing how the story goes, it goes very well. And we know why it goes well. We know where it goes. It goes to Jesus because of his faithfulness and his sacrifice and his power over death, because he's the victorious one. And that is the final V word today. It's a victory. And it will lead us to the table. The victory because the church wins. We're winners. We're overcomers, as we've seen in John's first letter of late. And that's because of the victor whose name is King Jesus. He overcomes sin. He overcomes the devil. He overcomes death, as we heard. And he's the Savior. The victory that we enjoy does not come by way of, via our efforts. It doesn't come by way of earthly rulers. No, the gospel truth points to and lifts up a person named King Jesus. And the gospel call to the called out ones and to the ones who have yet received that call for the first time, the call goes out to turn from your sin, to turn to Jesus, to trust Jesus, not your strength. to turn from sin and to trust Jesus, and also today to taste that truth, the gospel truth, to taste and see what Jesus accomplished at the cross, how sure it is, how sufficient it is to know that I am right with God. Hallelujah. And it is to that occasion that this bride now turns to the table. As we approach the table, let's join in prayer. Lord, we do not presume to come to the table in our own righteousness, but we come in your mercy, your grace revealed in Jesus. We're not worthy as much to gather up the crumbs under the table of your Son, but you are merciful, you're gracious. And we ask now that you would grant us